The sound of applause, my friends. Yep, sound of applause. It's amazing last Tuesday, huh? How many people felt this intense, beautiful feeling for hours and hours and hours. Amazing. And one of the things that we want to be aware of is that we have been very fortunate to be a part of something so beautiful and exquisite that there is a change that's taking place, and the change is so big, so enormous, that we have to be careful, somewhat, to not let it slide into the background. Today's program is about understanding why humans let important things slide in the background, and why we make non-important things slide to the foreground. And what is it about us? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I had this idea. Somebody said something to me the other day, and they said, well, if you pay me in cash, you don't have to pay me the taxes. And I thought, all right, that's probably a good idea. I've done that many times before. And then I thought about it. And I said, wait a minute now, that's state tax, federal tax. So by doing that, by not paying those taxes, I therefore am participating in this cheating, which I've always thought was fine to do, because I've been a hustler my whole life. I grew up in the slums of New York, and everybody learned to grab whatever you can, however you could grab it. And so hustling, the idea of taking advantage of or grabbing an edge or cutting a corner, has always been part of my life. May not have been part of yours if you grew up without that sense. But many people I know grew up with that sense. You got to make whatever can work, make work, and you've got to cheat wherever you could cheat and grab whatever you could grab and take advantage where you could ever take advantage. So I thought, okay, now here I am being offered something at a discount because I would pay in cash. And I said, and then I would be participating in this thing that I believe in doing, which is trying to get the most out of everything. Except I'm in a government now where I don't want to do that. I don't want to cheat the government. No, of course, many of you are going to say, but the government is the government, and it's disgusting, and it's all corrupt and all that. But if I want to give a chance, a shot, to what we've got in place now, what would happen if I, and the people who know me, and the people who believed in what I believe in, said, you know, maybe if we want to create a positive mind now, this is different than last year, where any effort you made didn't make a difference, and if you stole money from the government, if you donated money to WBAI, you took it away from bombs for Iraq. But instead of that, what if we paid our dues? What if we all paid our dues? Think about that. If everybody said, all right, I'll pay my taxes. Okay, I won't cheat. Okay, I won't put in expenses that aren't supposed to be expenses. Okay, I'll try not to steal from my brother. Okay, I'll try not to take advantage. Well, isn't this a nice idea? It's a glorified idea. It's a wonderful idea. It's a communal idea. It's an idea of living in a commune where everybody shares the wealth, as Obama would say. Why doesn't that work? So being a scientist, I asked my fellow scientist, Stephanie Darmer, let's do some research. And here's what we came up with, which is kind of remarkable. That the human brain is wired to get its most satisfaction from cheating. Yep. Now that's a funny thing to say, isn't it? Satisfaction, maybe it's not satisfaction. What it does get is excitation. What it does is that cheating gives you anticipated erratic reward. Let's take a further look. They went to a bunch of kids in college, and let me read you one of my studies here. This is what I found fascinating. At the Duke University's Fuqua, F-U-Q-U-A, School of Business, a funny name for a school, the first-year students in the School of Business were told, they were given a test, 1,800 of them, and they were told do not open this test in advance. And they found out that they had 40% of people had cheated. They kind of, in one way or another, got a peek at the test in advance. So what the Fuqua said, or the Fuqua professor said, they said, we're going to suspend you, we're going to get rid of you, we're going to kill you, we're going to castrate you, we're going to do all these things to you because you cheated. We're going to hold you up for prize. And they had two professional conduct committees, one comprising of students and one comprising of faculty, and they went into it and they said the school has an ethical claim. The school has an obligation to take cases of cheating seriously because it certifies that graduates can be trusted to do the absolute thing in every right situation in their professional lives, even when nobody is looking. Well, wait a minute. Where does that mean? That means that every lawyer who ever graduates the School of Business who didn't cheat on their exams is going to do the absolute right thing in every condition? No. Does it mean people who cheat in school cheat in their adult life? No. Are they saying if we catch you cheating, then we should kick you out of school because you should be better than that? You should be skilled enough not to get caught cheating. That's kind of what they're saying. They're saying that just cheating and getting caught cheating is no good because we're going to remove you from the group of people that are going to perpetuate the planet. We're not going to let you succeed. We're going to kick you out of school. So now what's interesting is, but why do all these kids cheat? So we look at adolescent behavior, right? Adolescent behavior, big brain differences between adolescents and their impulse and risk-taking behaviors. In previous studies, researchers found that the reward given to an adolescent, an immediate reward, is what makes him want to take risk behaviors. He wants to take a shot at something. Like, say, if you have teenagers and they want to go out someplace, let's go to the concert. And what will we do there? Where will we get our seats? How will we get in? Oh, who cares? We'll just go. We'll go because we don't have to plan what's going to happen. We don't have to plan how close to the stage we're going to get. We'll go because something unpredictable will happen that will be just as good as the predictable thing that your parents would do if they got exactly the right seats. The unpredictability of risk is an incredible factor in risk-taking behaviors. What the unpredictability does, if you don't know when you're going to get rewarded, see, you get a bigger charge. You get more dopamine, you get more adrenaline, you get more endorphins. You get a much bigger charge if it's an unpredictable reward than if it's a predictable reward. They took a group of mice and they put them in a cage and they had the young mice versus the old mice. The young mice would go out into the middle of the cage to see what was happening. And they would just go out. The old mice, they'd peek into the middle of the cage to see what was happening, to see if they wanted to go in or not. Difference between old mice and young mice. Right? Young mice, it's okay. Whatever happens will be okay. Maybe as you get older, you believe you're more frail. And you're afraid you can't recover if something happens. But then that would mean that older people never gamble, never take chances. Look at the lottery. You go to the lottery and you win. You try to take a chance at the lottery, and people do a lot of that. They gamble more and more now because they're looking for the big reward, but it's unpredictable as to whether you win or not. The charge is not knowing. And then they learn something else. If they give you teaser small rewards, like if you win $5 or $10 or $100, it keeps you coming back for the big reward. That's in gambling psychology. How does that relate to us, Obama, and the election? All right. We have to stay excited about the unpredictability of our potential. Our potential here is phenomenal. And we have a problem. We have a problem, which is what happens after a big fight. You have a big fight, you have a big battle, or you have what they call appetitive behavior. Appetitive behavior is when you are looking to satisfy a hunger. You want sex. You want food. You want something. Appetitive behavior. yearning, sends up the cortisol, gets the electrons going. It gets you really charged. You're trying to get Obama elected. You're making your phone calls. You're doing everything appetitive, looking for the reward, looking for the reward, looking for the reward. You get your shot. You have your sex. You get your food. You get Obama elected. Are they all the same thing? You get it, right? Now what happens is the brain goes into a satisfactory mode. And satisfactory mode is very interesting. Your brain is flooded with endorphins and oxytocin. Oxytocin, you know the thing that happens when you lay in the arms of somebody you love, if those of you who love somebody who lay in their arms lay there for any longer than 5 minutes. But if you do, that feeling of bonding, feeling of being connected, that feeling of really being there, it's a luscious feeling. But you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to get up and vote when you're laying around in bed. You're not going to get up and make a call and get somebody else to vote. You're not going to get up and get energy to keep things motivated. You're not going to say, I think I better go on that march, right? Because you're laying around in bed and you don't want to do anything. And your mate looks at you and says, it's so nice to be at you when our egos are not involved. Oxytocin. I like it. It's like you get rye bread. I'll have it oxytoasted. Oxytocin, if you have oxytocin, now oxytocin is a satisfaction chemical that we get, and you got to watch out for it. It's a wonderful thing. It makes the world go round. It's love. It feels fabulous. It's when you hug somebody, hold somebody, feel satisfied, loved, everything. It's great. But it also sends your mind on vacation. Last week, we had a guest on the show who talked about how people have to maintain a sense of curious, aware, attentiveness. Curious, aware, attentiveness. He said this is because that is what keeps you on your edge at your highest productive level. There used to be a belief a long time ago that back in neurology, back in psychology, that we were all searching for a state of homeostasis. And the belief was that, Freud's belief was that we were looking for homeostasis. Homeostasis is a balance in the neuronal networks of the body where everything is at rest. All of your chemistry is working perfectly and you are at rest. Everything is good. The blood is flowing. The nerves are going. Homeostasis. What they found is that that is not the ideal state. The ideal state is ever-ready potential, ERP, which is the ready potential of a nerve to fire at any point. It's its pre-firing point. At that point, you feel most energized, most alive. Most alive. You feel energized. You feel alert. See, the alert part comes from that. It means that your nerves have to be ready to fire. Nerves that are in homeostasis are dying. They're laying around. They did their job. They're just kind of exhausted, and they're ready to die. The cells that are doing nothing are dying. The cells that are growing are living. So if we're looking to feel life rather than death, we're looking to keep active in some way. Activity is a very vital part. Now, why is activity important to the political regime of our day and what I'm talking about today? We can't get complacent. There's none of it. We can get complacent. It's wonderful. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. But let's keep active in some way. So my thought is, if the tendency for people is to slide into complacency, what follows complacency after the election? You know what follows complacency? Doubt. When you lay around your house too long, you begin to wonder what's going on outside. When you're away for too long, when you're staying out of it, you get curious, and you begin to doubt. You begin to speculate with doubt, and people are already doing it. Well, let's see what Obama does with this, and now we'll have to see. Meanwhile, I was at a gathering the other day where I was with a bunch of people, some of whom were McCain supporters. And they said to me, well, we got to get behind the guy now, meaning Obama. They had switched. They had capitulated. We're ready. I know people who are taking out their flags. I know people who are saying, you know, let's wave a flag again. In Washington Square Park, Margot tells me, that's when she was down there at 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning. People were This was in O'Brien Park, Washington Square. What's on 14th Street? Union Square Park. Union Square Park, there was like a huge celebration on Tuesday. And during the celebration, people were climbing on lampposts. The police were around doing nothing on horseback. They were there. Everybody was kind of celebrating with the police. It was like the end of World War II. It was like peace has come. People were on the lampposts. People were all over the place climbing on the statues. And you know what happened? It was fabulous. They broke into America the Beautiful, and they all sang it. And Margot said, it was the most incredible moment to hear everybody holding each other singing America the Beautiful. Whew. Take that home with you, huh? Pictures all over the internet. Take a look at the photograph on the WBAI website. Open WBAI website, the front photo that they have of the election. It's just gorgeous. You can save it as a screensaver. It's just beautiful. One of the best I've seen. So here we are, my friends, and where we are is at a place where we want to be actively involved. Complacency sits somewhere nearby, because you could even hear on WBAI, the excitement about the election is kind of past. Everybody else's excitement is kind of passing. It's kind of like, oh, that's over. It's like the World Series is over. You know, oh, yeah, the Yankees won. It's over. Right? We have to extend it. How do we extend it? We have to extend it, and we have to be careful for the complacency. A friend came to me earlier today and said she wants to start a business. It's a holistic awareness business. She wants to bring people into consciousness. And I was talking to her, and she was asking me to consult with her, and I said to her, you know, the danger here is that when people are having hard times, they tend to isolate, gather in tiny groups, and take care of themselves. They don't think communally. In order for people to think communally, they have to believe that their communal efforts are going to be worth more than their individual efforts. So if we buy 1,000 apples, we can get them cheaper than if we buy 2 apples. Let's go with the commune, the group that buys 1,000 apples, and get our apples cheaper. So collective work works, and people will buy it if they can see themselves being a part of a bigger thing that will reward them immediately. How does you paying taxes, you not cheating on your fares, you doing what's right reward you? It doesn't. It only gives you a sense of satisfaction, and the sense of satisfaction is that complacency. This is our dilemma. How do we keep active? This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I'm asking you a very important question, my friends, and I'll be taking your calls related to this as well. We have to understand there's a reason why. We'll go back to the adolescents for a minute. They found something about adolescents recently. They found that adolescents who observe bullies, was it? No, not the bullies. Bullying behavior is one. Then there's another study that just came out that people, adolescents who observe violence, get certain activity in stimulated parts of their brain that release rewarding chemicals. So this is, if you watch violence, you get turned on. Now, we know a lot of people get turned on by watching violence. You know, we know that somebody, you know, you pass the nature channel, and somebody says, I can't stand it. I don't want to look at a dolphin eating another fish. It's too painful. And somebody else will say, no, I want to see that. I want to see the lion have its kill. There are certain people who get turned on by it, and certain people who get turned off by it completely, aversively. We would say at WBAI, Pacifica News, pacifists, we don't go for any violence, but violence in nature. What am I going to say? Let's get rid of the lions? Let's pull their teeth? You know, let's get a dental surgeon come in here and... No. I'm going to say that's nature. That's part of people. We have to understand the lions need to hunt. We have to understand that people get turned on by violence. People get turned on, and they get turned on in very interesting ways. The whole idea of sadist is reframed now. We used to think a sadist is just psychologically disturbed. But we're beginning to learn that the sadistic people, the people who like to see other people in pain, are getting certain neurochemicals that they can't get otherwise. stimulation is very important to people. You can't take it away. So if you remove the stimulation, you get complacency. Now, you can think of all those wonderful marriages where people have no stimulation anymore. And their marriages are nice and calm and wonderful, and they're good friends. But there's no passion, no fire. They never argue. It's kind of nice. What? Oxytocin. Oxytocin, nice, wonderful, pleasant, beautiful, sweet. And then your eye catches something off on the side that turns you on. And you go, ooh, and then all of a sudden you discover that down in the basement your husband's computer is filled with porn sites. You know, and you wonder, why is that happening? Why? How could it be? I thought we were so happy together. It's this need for stimulation and fire, and we cannot take it away from people. If you try to take it away, it just goes underground. Try it away a little earlier. I was listening to a program where they were advising young children not to eat sugar anymore. And she said, the suggestion was, how would you get children to stop eating sugar? And I heard the guest on Dr. Majeed's show say, get a can of Coca-Cola, get a bottle of Coca-Cola, and put it in a glass, and put a piece of metal in the bottom of the glass, and show the children 24 hours later that the metal has decayed completely in the glass. And then show that to your child, and your child will say, I'm not going to drink that. Well, I'm sorry, it's just the opposite. The kid's going to think it's rocket fuel. The kid's going to think, wow, what power this stuff has. It's the opposite of turning me off. So telling people what's wrong for them, telling people what they shouldn't do, telling them not to be stimulated is not the idea. The idea is redirecting the stimulation. Turn them on. I want you turned on, my friends. I want you turned on to being in this planet, being a part of this planet, and I want you to be a contributor with me. I want us to make a pact. I want us to make a deal. Let's help. Okay? Let's help each other. But most importantly, maybe let's help who's there. Let's show something. What would happen on this planet if all of us who voted paid every due tax? Do you realize the billions of dollars that would flow in? And do you realize how, if that went up the line, if employees fed that up the line to the employers, if the employer says to you, don't pay that bill, don't pay that tax, you as an employee can say, oh no, wait, I think it's fair, we pay it. If he says you're fired, you have recourse. You could tell on him. You can go tattle. You could say, hey, you know, I got fired because he wanted me to pay a bill that was an illegal bill, and he's going to get punished. He'll have to be paying for that mistake of doing that. We could feed it up the line. We could bring it. If we start doing it and we stop stealing pens from our offices and stop taking things that don't belong to us, we can feed this up the line. And show it everywhere. We can show it to our kids, not by telling our kids what to do, but by showing our kids not to do it. Hey, that's not right. Hey, Ma, look, I found $10 in the street. I wonder who it belongs to. Well, I'm going to go buy it. No, that's not right. I think we should try to see who it belongs to. Let's try to find a place where we can put the $10 and let people know $10 was found. And then if nobody claims it in a week, you could have the $10. See? Or we'll donate it. See, or something. We'll put it where you think it should be best. If it's found money, let's give it to where you think you would want this money put. By modeling what it is, instead of telling people what to do, modeling generosity, modeling excitement, modeling integrity, I think we get a chance. But here's the problem. If you grew up a hustler, all you could ever do is hustle. Because your brain is wired for it. Your brain says, give me the edge. Give me the, let me get this one over on you. Let me step in front of line. Let me get two tickets that nobody else can get. Let me get, you know, it's that whole thing. When you have that, how do you say, okay, we'll use that where that may be appropriate, but maybe we'll use it for people instead of against people. Maybe we'll use it against, and when we're using it for people and for each other and for the government, maybe we're using it for ourselves. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm putting out something there that I think, I wish they would take this program and replay it 100 times the first half hour, because I'm missing it. I'm missing people talking about what our next step is. I don't want to see banners. I don't want to see people just shouting and screaming. I want to see the cooperation. I want to see people looking to get excited about collaborating with each other on this next step of ours, which is just a week old. We're 1 week into a new generation. We can call this the Obama generation. Of course, it's bigger than that. We can call it the Matrix generation, because the Matrix has faltered. You know what I mean? We can call it the year of reality, right? The year of coming home. We could call it whatever we want to call it, but this is a very precious time, and I am so glad that I have had a chance to be here for this one. When I was 5 years old, I saw the end of the war. I heard it, they picked me up, and everybody was shouting and screaming and happy. And now I saw it again. And in my lifetime, to have seen it twice, I want you folks to see it happen year after year after year. It's the most rewarding, fascinating, fabulous, incredible feeling. And I'm sure you've all felt it. I'm sure you've all been a part of it over this last week. So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, talking to you about being wary of your vacation state of mind. The vacation state of mind is that mind where you lay back and say, I have done it now, you know. Time to take it easy. Yeah, it's okay to take it easy, but how do we get it back on? Where's your buttons, by the way, my friends? Where are your pins? Where are your reminders? Where are the things you're putting out there? Where's a little flag that says, hey, it's our time? Where are your reminders? What's on your bumper sticker? You know? How do you say not we won and you lost? But how do you say, hey, we're all in it together? And let's do so. So I say to you, my applause, I'm happy. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to play you some music as usual, and then we're going to take your telephone calls today at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. I'll be wanting to hear from you. I want to hear from you about your motivation and what you feel and how you're inspired and what could we do to inspire more without punishing people, without punishing the people who don't, without punishing the people who voted for McCain, without sticking our nose up at people. But we're together. We're here. You know? Family has met. I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. N'oubliez pas, which I believe means you are not obliged. And that is the from the album Lumiere by Bob Brosman Orchestra. N'oubliez pas. And it's a, and if you think about it, if you think about the meaning, it means you're not obliged. You know? This is about wanting. This is about desire. This is about fire. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. I speak with a positive spirit, always willing to look at the dark side of life, always willing to see it, embrace it, not avoid it, not avoid the pain of it, but to see it. And I say to you, we're here at a time where there are many people bleeding and a lot of people hurting, and people are questioning all their values in the past. And it's a time for reaching out our hands that has just never been around before, a time that we could touch people like we never did. It's a time for having a collective like we've never had. The opportunity is here. I remember during the Vietnam War when we got together and we protested and we won many of the protests, but then we went off and got stoned. You know, then we used it as a way to party and have a wild time, and it was all kind of, okay, the protests led us to be against the big guys, and there we are, kids, adolescents who are having a party and taking risks, just like I was talking about with the chemistry. So the protest was more a protest to be active against something, but then it would kind of peter out into nothing, you know, into like the activity kind of didn't go far enough. And this time when the war was started, we had a whole group of people who had an activity and they wanted to stop the war, but because we were corralled and put into lines and told how to protest, we petered out. We kind of just kind of, all right, well, you know, you can't fight City Hall. But now we beat City Hall. See? Now we're there. Now we're in charge. Now it's our turn to step up to the plate and show to the world how we want to be. It's a great opportunity, you know? But of course, like I said, chemically, we're not built for this. Chemically, we're built for risk. We're built for looking for short-term reward. We're built for taking care of ourselves. So ethics is not going to do it. And preaching to people is not going to do it. I'm not preaching to you. I'm inviting you. Join me on this exciting journey that we're about to take place. 212-209-2900 is our number here. 212-209-2900. Let's talk about you and see where you are at this point. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Hi, my name is Nancy. I'm calling in from New Jersey.
Hello, Nancy.
Hi. I just wanted to give a website. You see, I voted for Ralph Nader because he was right on the issues like the war and the national...
Oh, wait. Hold it, Nancy. The one thing I want to avoid is any political discussion about what's right about the election.
Okay, but...
Okay, I want... What I'm trying to do is ask, what keeps you motivated now that you're in here, in this world, with this government? I'm sure you're glad that Obama got elected versus McCain, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so how are you going to be part of this support?
Okay. I was trying to tell you that there is a framework already set up through this website to help people like myself who have never been involved really politically before to help improve society and help everybody. And
oh, what is that website? Okay, I misunderstood where you're going. I had some calls earlier from people who were going to tell me why Nader should have been elected.
No.
Okay, what is the website?
November5.org.
Okay, and what do you find people in there, and how do you find yourself involved?
Well, this is the beautiful thing. It's just beginning, and it's a platform for people to really take responsibility to advance improvement of our society after the election. Because many people, of course, even though they didn't vote for Obama, wish him well and have nothing against him. But, you know, in the the media. We're learning who he's, his cabinet or his advisors are. And so the idea of November 5 is to do grassroots, give a platform for people at the grassroots level to try to, you know, like I keep saying the same thing, but it's just beginning, and I don't know. What I'm trying to do is to pass this website on to others to take a look at it.
Good. Good. I'll attach it to my website. I want to look at it clearly. Yes, it says the election is over and we must begin turning our country around now, and the opportunity may not come again, but by quickly organizing ourselves in each of the 435 congressional districts over the next 100 days, we can make single-payer health care, a living wage, and a less militaristic society a long-term reality.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay, so that was my responsibility to pass it on to all of the listeners. And, you know, good luck to everybody, and I love you. I love your show.
And thank you so much. And it is, of course, this is a Ralph Nader-sponsored spot. It starts with Ralph Nader pointing at the White House and saying what's wrong with the White House. So you've got to kind of go in that direction also.
Yeah.
You see, and that's what I'm kind of like,
avoiding. But it's a, I don't know.
I know. I know. There's something in the middle here.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, bye.
So as I look at the website, of course, as you hear what they're saying, and then it comes Ralph Nader coming up and saying, and here's what's wrong, and here's what's wrong, and here's what's wrong, and here's what we have to go after. It's kind of not the approach I'm looking for. I'm looking for... Yeah, here it is. It's a petition for Ralph Nader. I think Ralph Nader's a good guy. But the whole website is about promoting Nader's work. Take a look, everybody. See what you think. This is Armand DeMille. I think we have a way of doing this. And this may be the way. It may be organizing against antagonism and fighting. I'm kind of enjoying the inviting, eliciting, rather than fighting. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes.
Armand. Hello, Armand.
Yes.
It's Monroe.
I know.
From Harlem, New York City. Listen, I am just posting a comment on listenerforums.net. The Goodlight .net board. You have to go through a couple of steps because they're trying to get rid of spam. But my problem is, I wish Obama the best, and I loved what you had to say. But my problem is even with the simple thing of calling Barack Obama an African American because he's a son of a mixed marriage, and I think that's a beautiful thing. I don't look at it as a nasty, vile thing as might have been in the past. Hello?
Okay, so Monroe, hold on a second. Let me talk to you about that.
Sure, please.
So Monroe, you've always been somebody who has been a caller of free speech.
You have been,
for as long as I've known you, you have been absolutely fighting for justice as you see it.
Extremely so, yes.
Okay, and in this case, you say, this is a part of my justice also. A part of what I perceive is that we have to stop hiding behind certain terms. And that's well said, and I understand that your attitude, even now as you speak, is even more positive than I've ever heard it before.
Well, thank you.
You know?
I don't know how to say this. You know, Barack Obama wants to get a dog for his family. You know, the family wants a doggy. So the question is, what breed? And so, hello, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And I don't know if you heard in the conference he just had a day or so ago, he said maybe we'll have to get a mutt. I'm a mutt, he said.
It's cute.
And I really, it hurt my heart that he would have ever thought or
mutt.
But, you know, there's this wonderful comic strip called Mutts about these two...
Monroe, it's time to stop. Thank you.
Okay, love. Carry on.
Bye-bye.
Want to hear from others.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. Yes, it's not Obama stories. I'm not looking at what he said and what he did and what he wore and what he wears and what he has to breakfast and what kind of dog he picks. I'm talking about us, the Obama of us, the part of us that is going to work together. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the phone. Hi there.
I tried to tell your screener, but he turned off. I just wanted to say oublier means forget, I believe.
Oh, forget,
I think
okay.
It was don't forget me, not don't, not oblige me.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. And I.
How do you say oblige in French?
I think it's obligé.
Ah, no wonder. That ain't going to change the name of the song then.
Okay. I realize I'm being petty, and right now I'm doing a crossword puzzle. So that's where my head always is with words.
Well, that's a good thing. But let me ask you something. What about your feeling of motivation?
I missed the part of what you were saying. A motivation about what?
Motivation about what changes you're making to try to facilitate a better world that we have access to right this moment, potentially because of the election. Thing that you're doing, the thing that you find yourself doing, beyond what you normally do, beyond your normal complacency, is there anything that you have in mind that you may want to do?
I'm trying to control my impatience with other people just walking around in public.
Good.
Good. That's
what do
about
you mean?
It.
Yeah, well, that's a very big thing, controlling your impatience.
Yes, I'm very impatient with people, and I just, it's bad for me, you know.
Okay, and is it also bad for them?
Oh, momentarily, but it's much worse for me. Because, I mean, I'm just talking about strangers that I just pass very quickly, you know.
Yeah, and you could just get angry at everybody.
Not everybody, but a lot of them.
Well, here's what's happening. You're changing. Your chemistry is changing. There's a chemistry inside you that at one point when you felt left safe, felt like there were more people out there to attack. When you can get the distance where you could say, I'm going to control my temper, then it means that you feel less under immediate attack.
Uh-huh.
So something in you is changing, and it's great that you are being aware of it and facilitating that very change.
Yeah.
Every act of kindness, which could be an act of just not being judgmental, you know,
uh-huh.
It contributes. It's a part. And every part of straightening out anybody who speaks French badly, also a wonderful thing to do.
I wasn't so sure of myself. I just took a chance.
I'm glad. Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Anne. I've called quite a bit.
I know. I recognize your voice,
yes, Anne. And I'm going to think very much about what you said.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hey. Hi there.
Hi, this is Rob from Brooklyn.
Hey, Rob.
I've been listening to your show since like 94. This is my first time calling in.
Hey, congratulations, Rob.
I was basically, you know, wanting to comment on, like, how do you, you know, feel that this whole thing with the election has changed. I feel because I am a person who grew up in a middle-class neighborhood, African-American, and I remember being spat at, dogs sicked on me and rocks thrown at me. And I think this is a vision for the world to look at because there's places that I didn't want to travel because of the color of my skin, because I was afraid. But now I think this is going to open the eyes up to a lot of different areas in our world where we can do these things and not be afraid, and it's going to really motivate us to continue to push ourselves to different levels in life.
That's a beautiful thing. You want to hear an interesting story, Rob? This is fascinating. When I was watching the celebration of what was taking place, I was watching up in Harlem where the celebration was taking place, and I was noticing that the camera shots had more white people than they had black people in the area of Harlem
right. That
they were shooting this film.
I saw that myself.
You saw that? And I said to myself, this is Harlem.
This is wonderful.
This is Harlem. I remember when I was a kid, right, we grew up and we were mixed culture. We had black kids and white kids and we were all kinds of, you know, but we wouldn't go to Harlem because we get killed. If being a white kid going up to Harlem, it was like suicide. Do not walk through
right. Harlem.
And meanwhile, I'm looking at an election taking place on right where we used to fear the most, you know, taking place, and it's three quarters white or half white, and the celebration is taking place with everybody.
And everybody came together.
And everybody came together.
That's the wonderful thing, because I know there's a song that Janet Jackson made. She said, you know, in the darkness, if we have a conversation, everybody's the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that's true. And I just hope that this puts a different vision on our planet.
Well, Rob, what's your part in it?
I'm sorry?
What's your part in it? What are you doing? What are you doing to make that? When I say to you, you know, consider not cheating. Consider paying the tax where you should pay the tax. Consider, what do you think of that? Do you think, no, not me. I mean, that's for the other guys who got more money.
Well, you know, I'll have to pay my taxes. There's not a law written in stone that we have to. It just came about. But I'm trying to become a better person. I'm trying to help out whoever I can throughout life. That's, you know, we are all here for a purpose. And to me, the purpose is, if you don't know your purpose, you can help always. It's always good to help someone out who might have less than you, or maybe give some knowledge to someone who might not know certain things, and just help. You know, and it's a little self-gratifying, but not being selfish at the same time. I look at it that way.
Well, that kid who got those rocks thrown at him when he was little has come a long way, huh?
Oh, boy, you telling me?
You remember that, Tara? You remember? I mean, I've had experiences like that.
It was very scary, but I didn't hate I just looked at the ignorance of that.
When you were back there, you didn't hate. You were just scared. Now you look back, you see it as ignorance.
Yeah.
But when you were back there, you were a terrified kid.
Yeah, well, you know, I ran fast.
Yeah, that's what we all learned to do.
But I survived, you know, and I'm still going to run, but to more positive notes in life.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Rob.
Thanks for having me on your show there.
Sure. 212-209-2900. You know, do you realize that in most restaurants, they make money by grams? Not grams of cocaine they're selling in the back room, but if they have a gram, if they're going to make a bologna sandwich or a sandwich for you, they're going to measure the grams of it. If the chef or the cook or the person preparing it puts an extra gram on the scale, I remember one man said to me, he said, my profit margin is 4 grams. If the person who cuts the meat for the sandwiches gives away 2 extra grams, I lose money. So if you think about how close things are for so many people, and then you think in that very restaurant, if you walk away without paying a bill, how that trickles down the line, how that goes down everywhere, how that affects everybody in a way, even though you think, well, I got away with it. You know, it's a thought. Hi, you're on the air. I'm sorry, Armand DeMille.
Oh, hi. Hi, Armand. My name is Justin. I'm from Long Island.
Hello, and Justin.
How you doing today?
What part of yeah. Long Island do you represent?
Well, I'm originally from Huntington, but I live in Central Islip these
uh-huh.
days. Well, at any rate, I guess the question was, how do we stay not complacent? And I guess what I was thinking was is that maybe a certain degree of realism about the limitations of any leader, whether it be Obama or any president, that really every leader is beholden to whatever constituency ultimately is the most, you know, has the most clout. So if we're not, if the people, if the public is not, mobilized to be like the proverbial, like, fire under the feet, if we're not like the fire under the feet, then there really isn't so, you know, there's only so much that any leader, whether it be Obama or anyone else, can really do within the situation.
So how do we become the fire under the feet? You know, that's a good question, because we have a new generation of electronic communication that was set up by this political group that through the Internet has inspired communication.
Yeah, actually, I got a good example of that. Some years ago, like almost 10 years ago, actually, I was involved in the demonstrations at the World Trade Organization. And that was one of the first demonstrations in which it was actually put together by, came together through electronic means, through computer websites. That's how I found out about it, at least, was that. And it was largely organized horizontally, you know, with very little hierarchical, you know, control. And it was at least for the time being, it was successful. And as you were saying before, these things can peter out. And certainly after 9/11, a lot of what was deemed anti-globalization kind of, you know, fell to the wayside. And certainly I myself have felt like I've kind of, you know, like slacked off. But
let me ask you one question, Justin, yeah, since we're a little out of time.
Yeah.
Who is the person closest to you in your life right now?
Who's the person closest to me? Well, I would say there's two people. A friend of mine and my son are both, you know, like people who are close to me.
When you're with them, do you get a feeling of being in a safe place?
Yeah.
That's the kind of feeling I want to generate. And yet you're not asleep when you're with them. You're excited with them.
Right.
It's that feeling, Justin. That's the feeling I'm looking for. It's a feeling of belonging with excitement.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And, there are a lot of... Yeah, and I got to tell you, I think more than ever with Obama, progressive forces, people who are concerned about this country, we have more of a chance than ever to be that seat under fire. So I hope we all take that chance and, you know, love to everybody.
Beautiful, Justin. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Bernie Starr with us tomorrow again. We'll be talking a little more, and you can get a copy of today's program on thepositivemind.com, or you go to WBAI.org. And I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends.
Hey, listener, did you know that when you make a pledge during our drives or make any donations before or after our drives, you and your employer can help support WBAI? That's right. Simply ask your employer whether they have a matching gift program, submit your request to them, they'll send us the paperwork. The paperwork should be submitted to WBAI Subscriptions Department, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005.
Dear listeners, this is Indra Hardat. There's a great way to support your favorite community radio station, WBAI, and save on your taxes. You can donate your car, your truck, or your motorhome. We'll come pick up your vehicle for free and give you a receipt for your tax donation. It's easy. Just call our representative to find out if your vehicle qualifies at 866-WBAI-CAR. Again, that's 866-WBAI-CAR. Thank you for your continued support.
And you are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio WBAI in New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM on the web at WBAI.org. And just take a moment, to go to that website, WBAI.org. On the right side of the home page, you'll see a little box that says Donate Now. Why don't you click in that box and you can subscribe right away, this very moment, to this commercial-free radio station. It lessens the amount of time that we have to spend on the air raising funds during major fundraising events. 158 in New York City at 99.5 FM. Coming up next, the Arts Magazine. First, this announcement, and right after that, the Arts Magazine.